A service for Holy Trinity Sunday, May 31st, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our text is from Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is our text. And now a sermon entitled, Building His Way. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew 16, we discover what Jesus intends to do in this world until the end of time. He tells Peter, along with the others, that I will build my church. He will do so upon the rock of Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says of his church, which he plans to build, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, the church on earth is the plan of the Lord Jesus. The church is all those who trust in him as their Savior. Therefore, there is only one church of which he is the founder. In fact, he is its foundation. We read in Ephesians 2 that Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone of the foundation. He is both the base and the measure upon which the structure of the church is erected. Sometimes you and I load upon ourselves the task of building the church as though it is up to us to bring people to faith, making them believe and be saved. To this end, we may look to marketing, advertising, and promotions. We may employ psychological and even brainwashing techniques that lead to change of behavior and enforce conformity. After all, we want the church to grow, expand, and prosper. This will take a lot of people, along with their bucks and their many volunteer hours. This may involve a bit of manipulation. This may involve adapting the message, causing it to seem more relevant. This may mean watering down a few things here and there. After all, why not scratch an itch that people have and tell them what they want to hear? This will make the church more palatable to more people, thus adding to its growth. More often than not, growing churches, with growth being measured in terms of bodies and bucks, are churches that have relied on these various techniques to grow the church. Paul had actually warned that it would be like this in the latter days. He said, For the time is coming when people, having itching ears, will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own passions. It turns out that there's a market for ear scratching, that is, telling people what they want to hear more than the truth. Now, some might defend this approach, explaining how the end justifies the means. And I suppose one could make that argument if the church was a man-made idea looking to be a profitable enterprise. Besides, more bodies and bucks would give it more power. Power is intoxicating. However, let's back things up. Let's ask, whose church is it? Well, clearly, it's Jesus' church. He made this known back in Matthew 16 when he said, I will build my church. It turns out the church isn't ours to say that we set aside our own ideas on how to build and let Jesus build his church his way. Today's gospel lesson informs us of Jesus' way, and it turns out he gives us a part to play, to work with him in the construction of the church. This comes across clearly in a resurrection appearance to his disciples on a certain mountain in Galilee. Our text relates, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. There Jesus came and explained to them how all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. You see, the Father had bestowed upon his Son the God-given authority to build his church, to consist of all who believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus had achieved the right to do just that. He attained it when he became incarnate, that is, when the second person of the Holy Trinity took on flesh and became true man. He is perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, who suffered for our salvation. Yes, Jesus suffered death upon the cross in order to atone for humanity's sins. Sins is what separates us from the Heavenly Father. But Jesus graciously paid sin's penalty on our behalf when he shed his blood for us. Scripture relates that after descending into hell, Jesus rose again from the dead. Truly, by his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus achieved all authority to build for himself the church, composed of all who believe in him and are saved. Gathered in his church, the faithful await until the end of time, using the means of grace to keep on building the church. These means strengthen the church and cause it to grow and to expand. This is because the third person of the Holy Trinity, the powerful Holy Spirit of Pentecost, accompanies these, causing growth to happen when and where he wills. Now, just what are these means that are accompanied by the Holy Spirit, for which Jesus has authority from the Father to build his church? What these are become clear in the Great Commission that Jesus next gave to the 11 apostles, and by extension to his church. Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, this means that the church is not located in any one place among any one group of people. Instead, it is to be found all over the world, as the message would go. The message of sin would be proclaimed, something all people know about as their own consciences accuse them. In addition, they would know that God exists, for he is evident in creation's magnificent design. As it says in Hebrews 3, "Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." Just as a house clearly was designed, so are we. David knew of what he was speaking when he once celebrated God, saying, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Yes, all people know very well that they have sinned against their Creator, so that when they hear the message of sin, they are cut to the heart. Then this is to be followed by the healing balm of the gospel. They are next told how Jesus the Son has brought about reconciliation with the Father. They will hear that all who believe in the Father who created them, the Son who redeemed them, and the Holy Spirit who sanctifies them, empowering them to believe, are saved. And then this forgiveness is sealed as water is applied into them in baptism in the powerful name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And since this salvation is not for adults but for our children too, the order of making new disciples, members of the church, proceeds for them in the order that Jesus said. Children are brought for baptism by their parents, with their promise and that of the whole church to pray for them and to see that they are taught of this faith that was given to them when their sins were washed away in baptism. Indeed, Jesus builds his church. We who are in his church have a part to play in its continued construction. It might be tempting for us to adopt other means of building, ones we deem more effective and capable of drawing in bodies and bucks. However, it's not our church to build our way. It's Jesus' church to build his way. It's to be built by the Holy Spirit at work through word and sacrament. It is tempting to doubt the means Jesus employs. In fact, doubt showed up on that mountain in Galilee. We are told that when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We think that it is up to us. We had best find a better way to build. But we are not alone, and so it's not up to us. Jesus made this clear, saying, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He simply uses us to go forth with his word and baptize. However, it is he, the one with all authority, who makes the disciples, thereby growing his church. It grows when his word is employed, whether or not we perceive there to be growth. In fact, Jesus had a short little parable that tells all about how it happens. It's recorded in Mark 4, saying, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." Therefore, in our churches, we trust that Jesus has all authority from the Father to build his church by the Holy Spirit at work through the means of grace, when, where, and how he pleases. And of his church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise be to the Father, our Creator, to the Son, our Redeemer, who has all authority and is with us always, and to the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier, at work building Jesus' church by baptism in the name of the Triune God and by the teaching of his precious word. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.